what's better than sex? Cake.
I'll have what she's having.
This is the Our Better Half podcast, where we ponder and sometimes giggle over sex over 50. This is episode 6, February 14th, 2016. I don't like Valentine's Day. It feels like a no-win situation to me. If you're not partnered up by the week prior, it's an occasion to pretend your partnered friends are so lucky and wish them well and not hope that they burn themselves on chocolate fondue. If you're single and it's anywhere after January 14th, you really don't want to start anything until February 15th because that's too fraught. If you're happily partnered, you've got two large failure opportunities, yours and theirs. No, I don't like Valentine's Day. I am in love with and adore my husband, but after 20 years of marriage, the most loving thing I can do is take the pressure off. We've got our routine. I give him foods he is allergic to, and he doesn't give me flowers. It works for us. We're pretty romantic from 2:15 to 2:13 inclusive. So you will understand now why I've chosen to make episode 6 the no sex episode. I thought it would be refreshing to examine the topic of asexuality. I was, I'm guessing, like you. I assumed being asexual was some sort of problem. I assumed a hormone deficiency or abstention due to bad experiences, but as often happens when I assume, I was wrong. Asexuality is not a choice or a stance against sex. It's considered by more and more people to be an orientation, like heterosexuality and homosexuality and bisexuality. So let's talk about not sex. I'll point you in the show notes to links on literature and a community and a documentary on the topic, but I really want to introduce you to two people who are asexual, Kathy and Simon. Kathy is a lesbian asexual on the U.S. West Coast, and Simon is a Londoner. I thought about splicing up the conversations by topic, but I realized I really wanted you to get to know each of them on their own as I did. So you will hear some of the same questions. And later I'll add the insights of another woman I know who had something to add to this. And while you're listening, make sure you have some hot tea for Simon and cake for Kathy, but not a Valentine's Day cake. I will not have heart-shaped cakes or roses during my podcast. I'd like to welcome our guest, Simon, who is a member of the Asexual Visibility and Education Network.
Hi, Laura.
Nice to talk with you.
Likewise.
What did you dream of doing when you grew up?
Didn't have any specific dreams, no real ambition about anything. Just kind of stumbled into things, really.
And how old are you now?
54.
For those who are unfamiliar with the idea of asexuality, do you want to define it?
I don't think too much about definition. The definition on Avon, people who don't experience sexual attraction, that sums me up, really. I guess as an adolescent and as a young adult, I never really experienced anything like that. In the 70s and 80s, there weren't really the kind of the resources or the network to get answers. So I retrospectively apply that definition to myself, really, because something like Avon exists as a resource now.
Do you wish that it had existed then?
I guess people find their own ways towards their orientation sometimes. Sometimes you fight the conditioning a little bit. We live in a heteronormative society, so there's an assumption that people are always going to be or will be heterosexual. In my case, it was a little different. There were suspicions. People wondered if I was bisexual when I was actually there was no sexual, but there wasn't a definition for it at the time.
I've heard people describe coming out as asexual, as a sexual orientation. Would you say that that's what happened for you?
I guess I got to a point in my 30s where I'd maybe tried to set up a couple of relationships. I probably disappointed one or two people over time, where you get to a point in a friendship or a relationship where there's an aspect to this to me, which is that sometimes the things are done back to front. So there's kind of it's a little bit of, you know, sexual attraction comes first, and for people like me, that doesn't seem to happen. I decided that I was asexual in about 2003. I've really been out about it in the last 18 months. So really, you get to my age and it's not really a big deal, because no one expects you to be in relationships. No one expects you to be pursuing relationships or sexually active. So nobody asked the questions. It was probably a little bit more difficult to deal with in my 20s and 30s when there weren't the tools to deal with it.
Asexuality is a lack of attraction to others.
Sexual attraction, yeah.
Sexual attraction to others. Would you say that you're aromantic as well?
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure about that.
Mm-hmm. I've heard there's a real range of people who define themselves as asexual. Do you enjoy sexual feelings solo, without relation to attraction?
I can self-pleasure if I want to. Mm-hmm. That's a way of obviously relieving a little bit of... I suppose it's not sexual tension, but I suppose it's a way of giving myself pleasure if I need it. But I don't find it's something that's very often necessary for me. And if I use any kind of fantasy sort of framework to do that, it tends to be around fetishes I've realised about myself rather than people or individuals. So, there's something called autocorosexualism or agosexualism, which is where people use fantasy situations to self-pleasure. But that could be something that's applicable to me. I don't really ask the question too much about that. But if I do need to be sort of, you know, if I feel like I need to sort of self-pleasure, then I can do that.
So we live in a culture where music and movies and media, it's filled with sexual references, especially of young people. And that kind of narrative, is it annoying?
Not at my time of life. I felt a little bit distanced from it, I guess, in my 20s and 30s. I've never been interested in narratives where, the hero gets the girl, you know, the things are based on relationships and based on heteronormative activity or behavior. Mm-hmm. There's a subtext in most literature and most cinema that sort of tends towards that tends to be the, you know, part of the main narrative of a story. For me, it kind of felt like that wasn't really describing how I felt about things. I guess that, you get to a point where you just kind of you brush it off.
Is it dull because it's all focused on that?
I used to feel engaged with certain types of music, certain genres of music when I was younger. I still enjoy lots of different types of music. It's about having something that's an identifier for yourselves. I don't think it spoils my enjoyment or makes me feel any differently about what I'm listening to. I just don't feel a connection to it.
Do you use the term ace?
I've used it to describe myself, yeah.
And in the community, is it useful to have a term like that people use?
I think it annoys some people. I don't spend a lot of time on the forums at Avon. It's a useful resource and there's some really nice people on there, but I don't spend a lot of time there. And I tend not to use my orientation as something that defines me as a massive part of who I am. It's an understanding for me. I have an insight into why I behave in certain ways. I've used the term to describe myself because as I understand it, and some people will probably dissent from this, and some people on Avon don't like labeling because it leads to judgment and stuff. But my understanding is that as an asexual, aromantic, that's probably about where I'd be ace. So I've used it about myself, and I've toyed with the idea of getting sort of ace of spades t-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just to be a bit of subliminal coming out. But
do you find that people outside the asexual community, do they try to pressure you or fix you?
Probably more when I was younger. These days it doesn't happen. I've had conversations with friends. I'm out to most of my friends. I was out to people I used to work with. I don't have a problem talking about it. I guess, you know, if any situations come up where it's kind of, you know, someone's tried to pair me off, and I can't think that it's happened very much in the last 20 years. I guess there was a recent incident where a friend was talking about pairing me off with somebody, and I told him I was ace, and it couldn't happen. And she's from the States. She went back after visiting a Springer last year and did a bit of research. She misunderstood slightly what I was talking about when I was talking about asexuality. But she went away and researched it. And when she came back, I saw her in December, and she felt like she had to apologise, which she didn't need to, because she's a good friend. But I guess it's quite an invisible thing when people, you know, there's a misunderstanding that perhaps you're talking about celibacy, or you're talking about making it's a conscious decision not to engage in sexual relations. Whereas actually, you know, I'm sex disinterested. I'm not bothered either way. My body wouldn't allow me to, probably. I know from experience.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I hear in older people in general is feeling invisible as sexual beings. Do you think it might be easier in the asexual community?
I guess there's no pressure. I guess, yeah, there's kind of, you get to a point where actually you don't want the attention, or if you feel uncomfortable with having the attention, then actually you're probably in the right place because you're right within your comfort zone. To me, the over 50s are a group that aren't expected to be sexual anyway, although I think that's changed a lot. You know, people, the way people live is different. You know, 50 is middle age really now. None of us are really old. So people shouldn't be shocked by the idea of people 50 and older being sexually active. You know, live and let live if that's what people want to do. But I think there's definitely an assumption that if you're in the 50s group, you're less likely to be active, you're less likely to be engaged in any kind of sex life. So for people like me, it doesn't feel like there's any kind of pressure. And if you are a little invisible from that point of view, it's probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I hear from people who are not asexual about asexual family members, and this is a tough one, but they say they're worried that they will be, quote, old and alone if they don't marry and have children. You want to face that one?
It depends. You know, I tend towards introversion, so I like a lot of my own space. I'm pretty outgoing with friends, but I'll pick and choose when I want to be out, and I'll pick and choose who I want to spend time with. So yeah, I can be a bit unreliable when it comes to socializing with even with people that I've known for a long time and I love. But I guess that there's a fear that you could wind up being on your own. But from my point of view, I've been single and not in relationships all of my adult life. I was a carer for a while. I've been with family members and sort of, you know, so I've had relationships with immediate family in terms of sort of, you know, sort of day to day living. But yeah, I don't think too much about it, to be honest. I'm 54. I've got 10, 12 or more years of working life. I think about my retirement more and more as I get towards my late 50s. And, you know, I'll think about it. As things stand, I don't have any fear of being alone. But I'll probably just have a bit more time to be on my own.
Hmm. Do you have any advice for folks who hear about asexuality for the first time and go, oh, maybe that's me?
I've got a friend, and I won't say too much, but she suspects that she's asexual, and she's been in relationships, but she's come to a point, and she's similar age to me. We've been talking, and she said to me back in the autumn that she suspected that perhaps she was asexual. So I guess, yeah, there's a sense of, yeah, that it's not a blinding flash, but as people become more aware of asexuality as a legitimate sort of an orientation that you know, stands on its own and is understood as the same as homosexuality, bisexuality, that kind of thing, then people can ask themselves a question and don't feel bad about it. I think there are more asexual people than the numbers sort of tend to indicate. You know, there hasn't been an up-to-date survey in about 10 years, and they were suggesting then it was 1% of, based on a survey done in the UK, I think it was. But yeah, lots of, and you know, what you see on Avon especially is lots of younger, it's lots, again, adolescents and young adults who are identifying as they, and it could be because they're under quite a lot of peer pressure to be sexually active, and it makes them uncomfortable. But you know, it's a fluid thing. Orientation is a fluid thing, I guess. People change, or people come to a realization at different points in their life. I suppose, yeah, the good thing about having a resource and actually profile of asexuality being raised is that people who are interested actually they can go and learn a bit more without having any kind of assumptions or prejudgments about why people are and the way they live their lives.
How ideally would you like non-asexual people to treat asexual people?
same kind of respect they treat anybody else. You know, to me, it's live and let live. I mean, I tend to take the view that there are sexuals and non-sexuals, so I don't draw lines between heteronormative and then homosexual or any other preference or orientation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's about the kind of the people that you are and the way you live your lives. You know, my orientation doesn't make me any different to the people that, you know, lots of friends over the years have known. I'm a pretty generous sort of outgoing and empathic sort of person. I'm simply not sexually interested in anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's not a threat to anybody. It's not. It's an area that's underexplored and under and slightly not misunderstood, but not very well understood.
One last question.
Sure.
What could sexual people learn from asexual people?
Tricky, because I don't understand motivations for sexual behavior. from my point of view, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a generation thing. I mean, a lot of younger people feel under pressure to engage in sexual behavior before they're really maybe mature enough to be in relationships. I guess it's a learning curve, but it seems to me that we're living in a kind of in the societies where perhaps, you know, the expectation is that people are sexually active before anything else, before they're, you know, they're emotionally committed, before they're the relationships are managed the wrong way around a little bit. Whereas for me, certainly, I'm not going to speak for every asexual person, but there would be people like me, I guess. Mm-hmm. You go into relationships with no expectation of things developing. I mean, it doesn't mean to say that you can't love people and you can't have those kind of feelings. I mean, I experience aesthetic attraction. I can appreciate beauty. And I'm happy to sort of – there are a lot of friends that I'm happy to sort of say to their faces that I love them a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not a love that translates into a sexual thing. Whereas I think a lot of the concepts of romantic love and stuff like that are kind of a bit subsumed because relationships tend to start on the basis of sex.
Yeah. This has really been very helpful. I thank you so much for being my guest.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
It's break time. Kegel break time. Let's do our pelvic floor exercises, men and women. Time to squeeze for better sex. Don't let things down there get dry and creaky. Here's your inspirational sound effect of the week. Kathy.
Hello.
When you were a kid, what did you dream of doing when you grew up?
I can't remember. I dreamed of being a forester at one point, hiking around in the woods and learning about trees. What else did I want to be? I wanted to be a spotlight operator at one point, watching an ice dance show. I was intrigued with operating the spotlight.
Oh, that is very cool.
That was very early on. As I got good at math and science, I started to think I'd probably go into a career in those.
And you're a software engineer.
Yes, I am.
And how old are you now?
I am 54 years old.
So for those who are unfamiliar with asexuality, would you define it?
Asexuality is having no sexual attraction. If you are straight, it's similar in that you are not attracted to the same sex. Mm-hmm. And if you're lesbian or gay, you are attracted to the same sex, but you're not attracted to the opposite sex. I have both sexes. I mean, opposite or same, I'm not sexually attracted to them.
Mm-hmm. How common would you say it is, or, you know, do people estimate that it is?
One fellow who's done studies on asexuality, that it's about 1% of the population.
Would you guess that there are a lot of closet asexuals?
Yes, there probably are closeted asexuals, but more likely they just don't know they're asexual.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that haven't heard of the definition and just don't really think about it, don't know it. But there are some closeted folks, because you do get asked some rude questions at times. If you come out, I came out as a lesbian first, so I got sort of, it wasn't that hard to come out as asexual later, because I knew that I might get some rude questions, but that it was worth it to let other people know about the identity.
Absolutely. Would you say that all asexual people are alike in their orientation?
Yeah, we're all alike in that we are not sexually attracted to anybody. But beyond that, we're very different. We can be extremely different from each other. Yeah, we're very diverse. Well, not that I've met every single asexual in the world, but
what's the best thing about being asexual?
I don't know if there's anything inherently special about being asexual. The best thing for me is just recognizing that's what I am, and explains a lot of my struggles over the years. So for me, that was the best thing, was it explained what was going on with me. Because I didn't realize I was asexual till I was quite old, at 47. I sort of knew before then, but 47 was when I learned about it and came to understand, and it explained a whole lot about my life and what was going on with me.
So asexuality is a lack of attraction to others. Is that the same as lacking romantic?
It's not the same. Well, aromantic would be a romantic attraction. And if you're going to ask me what I mean by romantic attraction, I have a whole lot of trouble explaining what I mean by that. It's just a sense of being super attracted to somebody, but not wanting to have sex with them. And I'm not sure what it is that's special about the romantic attraction versus a friendship with somebody. I've never been able to explain that. It's like more like just an intuitive feeling that I'm really into this person, more so than my best friend. You know, it's a different type of attraction, but it's not sexual. It's a possibility you can be aromantic and sexual. So feel sexual attraction, but not feel romantically attracted to somebody.
Right. There's a real range there. Would you say that asexual people masturbate as a rule?
Asexual people probably masturbate the same amount of times as straight people do. It's not, they consider it different than sexual attraction. It's sort of like a need when you want to scratch an itch, is how they describe it. They want to scratch an itch, so they masturbate to relieve that. I myself don't masturbate. Never occurs to me to want to. I did at one point in my life try it to figure out what was wrong with me. You know, I thought, give this a shot, see if I can. And I never really was able to do it. And then I realized that if I'm trying to do something, it's not something I want to enjoy. And masturbating is something that's enjoyable and should be done because you want to enjoy something. And so I gave it up. I bought some of those books about how to masturbate and followed them. And it just felt like a chore. And I said, this is sort of, it's a chore. I shouldn't do it if I feel like it's a chore.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but there are asexuals who enjoy masturbating and do it. The having sex is not part of being asexual. You can have sex when you're an asexual, and some asexuals actually enjoy it. They just don't feel that attraction to begin with, to think about having sex. But if they have a partner who has sex, they can have sex with their partner and enjoy it. So it's not about whether you have sex or not have sex. It's about whether you feel that attraction.
Making a distinction, it sounds like, between attraction to others and an interest in sexual satisfaction. They don't necessarily go together.
Right.
That's interesting. I've heard the term ace. Can you describe that?
It's like a nickname for asexual. I'm not sure where. I think it came from A-S-E, ace, the first part of asexual, but they spell it with the C because it's sort of cool, you know, the ace, and you can have the symbol of a a card of an ace, and I usually say I'm asexual if I come out at all. Most people prefer to say I'm ace to I'm asexual, sort of the same way that gay people say they're gay people and not homosexuals.
Mm-hmm. In 2010, you wrote a really wonderful essay for BlogHer. The title was "I'm an Asexual Lesbian."
Yes.
What kind of response did you get from the essay?
I got a fairly good response. BlogHer keeps a nice control of the comments there, and I got mostly positive comments from there, and lots of thank yous for just getting the information out there. So it was a good experience.
I made contact with you through an online community, the Asexual Visibility and Education Network, AVEN. But it's big. How long have you been involved?
I think I joined in 2006. And the first time I joined, I made up a different ID that I'm not known for around the internet world. Just because I was a little closeted at first, I didn't know whether I wanted to. And also, I was involved in a relationship and I didn't want to have my partner find out about it. But after about a year, I said, oh, that's okay. This is nothing to be ashamed of. I'm going to use my usual ID.
How does it feel to have that community?
It feels good. People that are like you, you don't feel so weird and different. And you can talk about things like not wanting to have sex. There are people there that get it. there's also the usual community flame wars and things will happen. And I do like the way the community is organized, where there's a specific forum for the more hot topics where you can get into flame wars. But they keep a pretty good control of it, although it's a volunteer-run community. I admire the folks that volunteer to run it and control those flame wars and all the things that involved in a community like that.
Oh, the internet. Yes.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of cake.
Yes, a lot of cake. there's a lot of stories as to what is it about the cake? For me, the story that resonates the most is that what's better than sex? Cake. it's just something that's very enjoyable that we all like. So we, instead of saying, you know, we want to have sex, isn't that lovely? You want to have cake, you know.
And, I like it.
There are a few people that speak up and say, wait, I like pie. But that's the story I heard.
Oh, that was a flame war right there.
It's sort of traditional when you join to get cake. And then pretty soon you figure out that, you know, it's better than, you know, cake is better than sex type, the roots of it.
I like it. What are the greatest misunderstandings people have about asexuality, would you say?
I guess that it's an illness. It's a sickness. People think that you have to be cured of it. And they think that you don't like sex, which for some is true, but for some it's not. Mm-hmm. For me, it's mostly that it's a mental illness, that it's something that needs to be fixed.
Wow. How do you respond to that when you hear it?
I say it's not. It's just who I am. And it's not something that needs to be fixed. Because I'm over 50 and I've had a lot of life experience, it's sometimes easier than me than the younger asexuals, because I can point out all my experiences over my life and say, you know, I tried that. You know, I did that. It didn't work. So that's usually what I end up talking about with people that think it's an illness. And then I often will flip on them and say, you know, is it an illness that you're not attracted to the same sex if they're straight? You know, I figure out and I'll get them thinking along those lines that are you mentally ill because you don't want to have sex with a person that you're usually not attracted to? And that works out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. But mostly I give them evidence of my life experience that I am not mentally ill because I don't want to have sex.
I know that in your essay, you spoke of that you wished that you had known that being asexual was an option when you were younger.
Right.
So older people often report feeling invisible as sexual beings in general.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that might be easier in the asexual community? That sense of being invisible when you get older?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of handy in that it's easier if people don't expect to have sex with you because you're old. It's like, oh, no problem for me. I don't want to have sex anyway. So it's sort of convenient. Of course, nobody wants to feel invisible for age or sexual orientation or whatever. So that's hard to deal with, but it's not hard to deal with people not seeing you as sexual is sort of a relief for some asexuals.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
One issue that I hear coming up in the asexual community is concerns by family about being, quote, old and alone. Can you address that?
You could be old and alone, but there are so many ways to not be alone that are not involving sex. You can volunteer. You can make friends through volunteering. I make friends through hiking. I have good friends that I can get together with. I also chose not to have children. So I will be old and alone, but then people that are married will lose their husband and wife, mm-hmm. and they'll be old and alone. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen to everyone. Eventually, you're going to be old and alone. But if you just, I concentrate on making friends and having a friends around me for when I'm old.
Mm.
And I find that's, I don't know. I'm not as scared about being old and alone. I did have that when I was young, I sort of thought that way that, oh gosh, if I don't find somebody to marry, I'm in big trouble. Don't have, you know, that won't have kids to take care of me. But, I'm now on the other end. I'm a kid taking care of my parents.
Mm.
Not a whole lot. There's four of us. And so I think about that, but then you can, we've helped, they live far away from all of us. They've positioned themselves way up in northern Michigan, are taking care of themselves. So they sort of are in some ways mirroring to me that you can arrange things to take care of yourself if you don't have children take care of you. I'm learning from them that when I get really old and can't take care of myself, that I can plan well and have somebody to take care of me. And I lean on my friends. I try and have friends that are my age and younger and older. I don't know, just lots of friends.
Mm-hmm.
About. And I have siblings, so then we're close enough that I won't feel that alone.
Yeah. Do you have advice for folks that think that they or someone they know might be asexual and not haven't explored that?
I guess my advice would be to go to the Aven community if you're okay with online stuff. If you're uncomfortable with online, you can find the low. It depends on where you live. It's hard. In some places, you couldn't find people that are asexual in your, you know, real life community. But here in the Bay Area, there is a active group that meets in person, face to face, and it's nice just to get together with other asexuals and talk about talk to them, find out what's going on with them, how they figured it out, share your feelings with them.
Mm.
I was able to share my feelings with my therapists I'm not getting therapy anymore, but I was for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I was in the Bay Area where I had a pretty open-minded therapist. I'd hesitate to tell people to go to your therapist about it if they don't know about asexuality.
Is there a network of clinicians?
Not that I know of. I haven't heard of that at this time. I was just in the Bay Area, and my therapist was a lesbian, gay, friendly specialist. So she was very open-minded, and actually I taught her what it was about. So now she's available to treat other people. She can tell them about asexuality. I think that they probably are now teaching it because we're doing a lot of outreach with the Aven community does a lot of outreach to educate people. So I think they are starting to. And the fellow, I think his name is Bogart, who did the research on asexuality, has put out some books. And so did another woman, Ivy. I can't remember Ivy's last name, but she put out a book all about asexuality. And there's also a documentary that I would recommend people watch, and it's called Asexual, and that's a good documentary to watch, and you can watch it in the safety of your home and not have to come out to anybody and learn about it there.
How would you like non-asexual people to treat asexual people?
Well, I'd like them to treat as well, with kindness and to accept when we say we're asexual, to don't argue with us that we're not asexual. I think that's the biggest thing. I get very annoyed when people say, try and argue with me about being asexual. I had a friend say, can I play devil's advocate? And I said, okay. And she was trying to convince me I wasn't asexual. and sort of why should it be necessary for you to quiz me about this and ask me whether, try and prove to me I'm not. I don't want to be treated like that. I want people to believe me when I say this is my sexuality, and not question whether it exists and how I know and that they can fix it. I haven't met the right person. Just don't do that. Just say, oh, that's interesting, and ask me about what asexuality is if you don't know about it, but don't tell me I'm not.
Do you mind when people ask?
No, I don't mind, as long as they don't start quizzing me about and trying to convince me I'm not asexual. I'm happy to answer questions about what it is and refer people to the resources I know about.
What can sexual people learn from asexual people?
I don't know. What can every person learn from every person? Everyone in the asexual community is different, and you can learn different things about us. I guess you could learn the value of just looking inside you and thinking about what you get out of sex and why you like it, and that it's different for everybody, and to not worry so much about your feelings about sex and just accept what you feel and enjoy it.
That's a great way to end things. Thank you so much for doing this. This has been really great.
Okay.
Before we leave the topic of asexuality, I want to share some commentary from someone who identifies as asexual in a unique way. I realize that not all in the ace community would call this person asexual, but her description of her experience is, like people of all persuasions, her own, and her identity is her own as well. Here's what she told me. Sexual relationships are something that I have never been able to manage due to a combination of my autism, I cannot bear to be touched and for my personal space to be invaded, and the fact that I was abused as a child. My parents were unaware of it, so I am in no way blaming them. But the trauma has led to PTSD, and I cannot see sex as being anything other than abusive, as if I'm being attacked. It amazes me that people enjoy it. When I reached 50, I thought, maybe I'll be able to find a male partner who feels the same way. But no, most men over 50 still want sex. I feel we live in a world where every adult is supposed to have sex. It's just not true. For some people, asexuality is an orientation. For others, there are complicated triggers. Thank you for sharing that. This is the time that I would usually be welcoming people to their 50s and higher decades, upgrading them to sex over 50. But today, let's look at who will, by self-report, not be having sex this year over or under 50 because they identify as asexual. The singer Morrissey, comic Janine Garofalo, comic Paula Poundstone, Booker Prize winner Carrie Holm, and, by all reports, Detective Sherlock Holmes, All Starfish, and Lawrence of Arabia. Thank you, as always, to my listeners, guests, and contributors. In the next episode, selling sex toys to women and the notion of pretty sex. For links to topics and people in this episode, see the show notes for episode 6 at ourbetterhalf.net. Please also check in there to send your ideas, feedback, and guest suggestions. Old people, prioritize good orgasms. Well, all orgasms are good, but don't skimp on quality. Goodbye until next week.